he sounds like a turkey. I know, it's awful. I'm not hurting. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm squeaking kind of like a wagon wheel that needs a grease job. But you pray for me, and I have preached for way over 40 years and have had very little trouble going hoarse, or not much. Maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know. But I'm not hurting. Don't feel bad. The good Lord's help, we'll make it. But look at Matthew chapter number 10. Will you do that? Matthew 10 and verse number 29. And then run over and find Luke 12, 6 and 7. And maybe kind of pop a finger over there. And we will we'll read both of those as we begin tonight. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 29. Jesus was speaking and said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" That's about a half a penny. That's pretty much the smallest coin they had. Just very, very, very small. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And then look at Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 6. Luke 12 and verse number 6. He's beginning the same subject, if you will. And he said, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." All right, let's pray. Father, I pray you'd be with us. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would now rightly divide it. Thank you for the music tonight. We thank you for each one here. And Lord, I pray that you would guide our thoughts. And Lord, just help us to center our thoughts and our affections on things above. Lord, I would suppose that most here are saved, but Lord, maybe someone here has never been born again. And Lord, I pray that tonight would be that night when the most important issue in all their life is settled. Lord, you said, "What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?" And Lord, if there be one lost, I pray they'd be saved tonight. And then, Lord, I pray that, Lord, all of us, we're starting with me, Lord, we can do better. We can be more like you. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our heart tonight. Maybe someone here is discouraged tonight. God, I pray they'd be encouraged. Lord, maybe someone has a doubt. I pray that they'd find faith tonight. Lord, that would erase that. Lord, sometimes folks just tired and just weary. And Lord, I pray that they'd find, Lord, they find strength in the joy of their salvation. Lord, when the invitation comes, do what? Lord, we know we can't, but you can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preachers, maybe give me a drink of water. If you might do that, that might help a little bit. It won't hurt nothing. Amen. Sparrows. I want to, in Bible times, sparrows were actually sold for food. Now that, we don't like that because we just don't think that way. But they ate them. They actually, that's why they were selling them. They weren't pets. They were selling them for food. The just kind of like their version of chicken McNuggets, you know, I mean, just a little bite, man, that's about it. But it was very much a food for poor people. Rich people didn't eat sparrows. These Jewish people here, thank you, preacher, they would eat lamb or beef. They wouldn't eat pork, of course, but you know, lamb chops or pork roast or sirloin steak, they would eat that. But the poor people, to add a little protein to the diet, the mama in the house, sometimes she would buy some sparrows. When Jesus was a child, now the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm just kind of thinking, he probably saw Mary buy sparrows. Something that I think sometimes we forget is that Jesus was poor. Well, sometimes we think he's running around in a gold chariot and saving all the hen or whatever, but that's not true. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. You remember when they brought Jesus to the temple as a small baby? The law said that when you bring the baby at that age to the temple, that you were to bring a lamb. But the Bible also said in Leviticus 12:8 and other places that if the family could not afford the lamb, they could bring turtle doves or pigeons as an offering. Now, in the case of Mary and Joseph, a lamb was out of the question. The Bible says they brought the turtle doves or the pigeons. They were not going to bring the lamb because they were a poor family. And so that being the case, as a small boy, Jesus probably saw Mary by sparrows. I could just see. Now, the Bible says, let's do a little bit of arithmetic. The Bible, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? So if you got you a farthing, you can get two sparrows. But then we read in Luke chapter number 12, are not five sparrows? If you have it, if a farthing will buy you two sparrows, how much do you get if you got two farthings? Five, but you'd think four. If a farthing will get you two, then you would think two farthings will get you four. But Jesus said no. Said five sparrows are sold for two farthings. I can imagine Mary coming in and seeing all that meat hanging there, but knowing that that was not in their budget. She might have said, "Do you have any sparrows?" And the butcher or the meat market man, he might say, well, there are two sparrows per farthing. And Mary might have looked over and seen maybe five sparrows. She said, I'll give you two farthings for five. What are you going to do with the fifth sparrow? There's no coin small enough to buy it. Who buys one sparrow? Nobody's going to come in and buy one because there's no coin small enough to buy it. And so Mary is saying, I'm making it, if this scenario happened, coming in and saying, that fifth sparrow, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to throw that in. Nobody comes in and buys the one. It, you can't sell it. There's no coin small enough. It doesn't matter. It's just a fifth sparrow. You throw that in. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like a fifth sparrow? Have you ever felt like you just don't matter much? Have you ever felt like your part doesn't amount to much? Have you ever felt like, you know, I love the church and I'm happy about everything that's going on there, but if I wasn't there, it probably wouldn't make much difference at all. The devil will tell you that if you ain't careful.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever felt like, well, what difference do I really make? Then, let me tell you something. You listen to me. Jesus said, not one of them is forgotten before God.
Amen.
Jesus said, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Bible says that one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Do you know that God attends the funeral of every sparrow? Do you realize that? And the Bible says that as in the world's eye, that fifth sparrow doesn't mean much. God says, but they mean much to me. And he says, and you are of much more value than many sparrows. That fifth sparrow, that one that seems like it just doesn't matter, that one that the butcher's just going to throw in, that one that there's no coin small enough to buy it anyway. If you'll think about it, the Bible is full of fifth sparrows. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. There he was. He was a good boy. He was living his God-given dreams. He loved his daddy. He loved his brothers, as sorry as they were, but he loved them, but they just didn't love him back. And he ended up getting sold into slavery. You remember that? And he got sold into slavery. And that old heifer told a lie on him and got him thrown into jail. And he landed in jail. He wasn't in jail overnight. He was in jail year after year after year after year. Seemed like everybody, he had to feel kind of like a fifth sparrow. Well, my life's over. I don't matter much. But yet the Bible says that God was with him. And God brought him out of there. And he became a ruler in Egypt. Pretty good for a fifth sparrow. Amen. There was a fifth sparrow. I think about the woman at the well. Remember the woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4? You remember her? The Bible says that she came to the well in the heat of the day. Why in the world would a woman go to the well in the heat of the day? I'll tell you why this woman went to the well in the heat of the day. She was tired of people looking at her and whispering and snickering. She was tired of holier-than-thou people that raised their eyebrows and walked the other way when they saw her coming. She was tired of being the punchline and dirty jokes. And she got so tired of that, she started going to the well in the heat of the day, hopefully would not run into anybody else. Surely she felt like a fifth sparrow. But she went to the well on this day, and Jesus was there. You remember that? And Jesus said, "Give me to drink." And then he struck up a conversation with her, and he said, I have water that if you partake of, you'll never thirst again. He talked to her. You say, Brother Terrell, but she was an immoral woman. She was. She was. And she had been married 5 times. And she was probably living with another woman's husband when this occasion took place. And I'm not minimizing that. And we're not saying that marriage vows don't matter. We're not saying that. And we're not saying that that kind of behavior is okay. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, that Jesus still loved her. I am saying this, that she still mattered. I am saying this, that Jesus was willing to forgive her of her sin. And thank God she repented and got saved and went to town and did more soul winning than 12 backslidden preachers had done all afternoon. Amen. You read your Bible. But she felt like it, but God wasn't through with her. Listen to me. Preacher hadn't told me a word. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't even think. No pastor would do that. I don't know a thing. But maybe I'm preaching to somebody that has had that time in their life when you're just disgusted with yourself. Have you ever felt that way? Why in the world did I do that? Why in the world did I say that? Why in the world did I go there? And maybe it's in this matter of morality or relationships or whatever it might be. But you listen to me. You may feel like a fifth sparrow, but God still loves you. God still forgives. And you got a life ahead of you. And I'm not saying that marriage vows don't matter, but I am saying that God forgave her and God will forgive you. Amen? And go on and serve. Let it be in the past. I think about that little woman. You remember when Jesus was on his way to the home of Jairus? Remember Jairus' daughter? And Jesus was on the way there to help her. You remember that story? And there was that little woman, and she Bible said she had an issue of blood. And she had been to doctors and had spent all of her living. And after 12 years of doctoring, she was none the better, not a bit better. And her money was gone. And she thought, if I could just go, she had to go like a fish sparrow. I'm sick. I can't get better. Nobody can help me. And she thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Now you think about that for a minute. Now listen to me. People that are smarter than me and that have studied diseases of Bible times, there's a good chance, now I can't prove it, but there's a good chance that little lady had been misdiagnosed. That would explain 12 years and none the better. She was probably very young. And to go to the doctors for 12 years and not get any better, she had probably been misdiagnosed. She had probably been accused of having a disease that you would contract through immorality. The Bible said it was an issue of the blood. It's likely that stories had been told of her and she had been accused of things that she was not guilty of at all. And she thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Remember, she did, and Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. And you all know that story. And she might have heard. She might have heard. You say, you got a lot of mites and babies tonight. I know, but I like to do that sometimes. She might have heard. You're no daughter of mine. Might be why when Jesus looked at her, the first word that came out of his mouth, he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. He might have been saying, you lost one family, but you got a new one now. You've been accused of some sins that you are guilty of, but I want to forgive you for all of your sin. He might have said, you thought your life was over, but there's still life ahead for you. Sometimes little Fitzgerald's about ready to quit, and you don't know when great things are right around the corner. Amen. You just don't know. Fifth Pharaoh.
Think about the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Did y'all know? Jesus came on the scene. And there's the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors and the lawyers. And you listen to me. They didn't care about the law, and they didn't care about right and wrong. All they knew was they didn't like Jesus. Now, that's the bottom line. That was it. And Jesus comes into the area there, and one of them got a bright idea. Let's run and grab a woman committing adultery, because the law says to stone her. We'll see what he says. I can see him run and grab that little lady and come. And again, I'm not saying that adultery's okay. But they ran and they grabbed her, and here they come. I can just see them dragging her by the hair of the head. Well, I have a few questions. Number one, how do they know where to go look anyway? Where do you go grab a woman commit adultery? I mean, how do they know? I'm sorry, but I'm major. And number two, if they really cared about the law that says the woman was to be stoned also said the man was to be stoned. And if they're so looking out for what's right, why didn't they bring him? Again, all they cared about was they didn't like Jesus. They decided we'll put him in a situation where he can't win. They come dragging her in by the hair of the head, and there she is, and they said, the law says stone her. What do you say? You remember what happened? Jesus fell down and started writing in the sand. I've always wondered what he wrote. I don't know what it was, but I know they started dropping rocks. Walking away. Jesus said, where are them that condemned thee? And she said, they're gone. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. I'm going to sin no more. That's not okay in that behavior. But I'm saying this, Jesus still loves her. Jesus still forgives. You say, Brother Charles, you don't know what's in my past. No, I don't. And it's none of my business. I don't need to know. I know that we're all sinners saved by grace. I know that we've all come short. And I know God forgives, and the devil will try to make you feel very, very useless, but God still loves you. God will still forgive, and you accept that forgiveness and go on. Amen? Don't live like a little fish sparrow. What about the widow that brought the two mites? Remember her? She had to feel like a fish sparrow. Those old Pharisees, they'd run down to the bank, and they couldn't just bring, you know, a big coin. They'd run down and get them a bunch of them farthings or something. And here they come. They put it in their skirt tail. And they come, look out. I got the offering here. Everybody out of it. And here they come. Oh, I got a big offering today. And they'd run and dump it in the pan. They'd go on the floor and they'd be jingling. Oh, hell. You know what Jesus said about that crowd? They have their reward. Why did they do that? So everybody'd see it. So they do it, everybody sees them, they got what they wanted, Jesus, but that's their reward, that's all they're getting, amen? This little old widow comes in. I guarantee you she knew about buying sparrows at the meat market. She didn't ride in a chariot, I guarantee you she walked. She didn't go to her closet and pick a garment, I guarantee you she probably had on pretty much all that she had. And she didn't bring just out of her abundance, she brought all that she had, and here she comes. And she put it in. And I can just see her trying to kind of slip away without anybody noticing. And Jesus grabbed the disciples and said, you see that? She said she gave more than all the rest of them put together because they gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her want. That little fish sparrow, because she gave out of what God told him, she did what she could, and Jesus got more glory out of that than the offerings of all the big fat cats out there. He got, but that little, you reckon that little widow went hungry? Do you reckon that God, I just have an idea, her life changed big time after that, don't you? She felt like a fifth sparrow, but yet because she trusted God and we know God worked in her life. Not a fifth sparrows. I think about old Mephibosheth. Remember Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Remember David and Jonathan were big buddies. Remember that? By the way, there's some nonsense and it's vulgar and ugly floating around in theological circles right now that their relationship was some kind of a homosexual romance. That's a lie out of hell. That's as nasty and dirty as it can be. And don't you let anybody sell you that. That dog won't hunt. They were just friends. They loved each other in the Lord. Don't you believe? Just because this doctor
smarter than you shagmasters. That don't mean that he knows everything. Amen. So don't you listen to that. Don't get me going. But David and John loved each other. And man, and let me chase a rabbit. He said, what does that mean? That means I'm getting off the subject, but I'm old, I'm allowed. David did okay when he had John. When did he get in trouble in life? It's when he lost his buddy. Have a buddy, have a mentor, and you listen to me. Your friends do matter, and your friendship and the influence you have in other people's lives does matter. And if you decide to backslide, you're not going to backslide by yourself. Other people are going to go with you. Those disciples looked at Peter and said, if you're going fishing, we'll go with you. You'll influence others. But Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. You remember the story? And Mephibosheth, as a small, what David said, because he loved Jonathan, and he said, is there anyone of the household of Saul? Now, Jonathan was the son of Saul. So he's talking about Jonathan and his household. And he's saying, is there any relative of Jonathan left that perhaps I could show kindness to? David knew he couldn't do anything to Jonathan, but maybe there's someone in his family that I could show kindness to because of how Jonathan and I were such great friends. And they told David, you ever heard this story? They told David, well, there's a little crippled boy down in Lodibar, and his name is Mephibosheth. Now, what happened to Mephibosheth was, as a little small child, there was an emergency, and the nurse ran and grabbed him and took off running. And as she ran, she dropped Mephibosheth. My buddy Lester Roloff, he said his mama wouldn't have dropped him. But the nurse dropped him, and his ankles and his feet were broken and twisted. There were no orthopedic surgeons in those days. There wasn't much in the way of painkiller. And his little feet and legs, he was crippled and could not walk, and they were twisted. I can promise you that little fella cried himself to sleep many an hour. You imagine he's looking out the window at other children running and playing, and he can't do that. He probably had someone carry him or maybe scooted around on the floor. His estate, as he grew older, liens were placed against it. And in Bible times especially, if you were that severely handicapped, you lived in dire poverty. I mean, dire poverty. And when David said, is there anyone in the household of Saul? Is there any descendant of Jonathan? They said, well, there's Mephibosheth. And he said, you go get him. And they got away. And they went and they loaded him up. And for the sake of another, they went and got one that was crippled by a fall and could not pay the debt that he owed. And they brought him back to the palace. And he put his little feet under the king's table. And David said, as long as he lives, he'll live in the palace with me because of my love for Jonathan. And the Bible says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now listen, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're all Mephibosheths, every one of us. We were crippled by a fall. We paid a sin debt. We owed a sin debt that we could not pay. Our estate was lost, but the king, for the sake of another, sent a wagon called Grace, and he paid our sin debt. Yes, and he loaded us up on that wagon. And he said, hey, he'll take us back to the palace in heaven, and we'll put our little feet under his table. And by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll live as heirs and joint heirs with Christ because of one who loved us and restored our lost estate. And aren't you glad that God still loves little fifth sparrows? If I could talk better, I'd shout, so help me out. Sometimes people that are sick or handicapped, I'm finding out something about old age. Can't do what I used to do. Sometimes we get to think, well, I don't matter anymore. Yes, you do. Well, I'm not going to make any difference. Yes, you are. For one thing, these young people need to see somebody serve God until the day that they die. Somebody that would not quit. Somebody that served God and would not quit. Young people in the church need to see that.
Maybe you can't come and paint like you used to or do a bus visitation, but they need that. I preach to people all the time. Marine Heights was established, was organized in 1951. My dad was pastor before me, and a church that old, you got lots of old people. My soul, the funerals I preached by media. You would not believe hundreds and hundreds of funerals. But I preach to folks that are hurting. My dad's got Alzheimer's. My dad was, people ask me, who's your favorite preacher? Because I'm a preacher and I know that people, I get asked that all the time. I always say my dad. He said, now that he has Alzheimer's, who's your favorite preacher? My dad. The other day, I told Brother Nathan, the other day in the cafeteria at the nursing home, he started singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And by the time he got done, half the patients were singing with him. And I just said to him, I just couldn't believe it. I said, "Lord, have mercy." He's still got a ministry. I mean, it's amazing how they know those songs. They just sing them. It's, before he got as bad as he is, we started 18 other churches. You know how you all like a mission off of, you know, till God. We did that 18 times. That's the job of the church. Right? That's the right thing. You know, whenever Brother Nathan gets up and says, "We need to do that," you holler amen and help him. You know, amen. Before he got so sick, he was confused but could still walk around. My mom called me and said, "Gerald, come in. Your daddy's out in the backyard. He won't come in. You better get over here." So, there's a shed out in the backyard, and it's got 500 wasps in it. The paint's peeling. The roof is sagging. It's awful. It's awful. You know, it's terrible. And I walked out there, and Dad was standing there looking at it. You got to understand, you know, he's real, real confused. He's got Alzheimer's. All of his life, he's pastored, preached, and started churches. And pastored the same church, right? That's it. You know, from 1951. Still no pastor. And church won't even think about changing that. He's still no pastor. They would never. I was pastor, but now my son-in-law was pastor. But anyway, we're standing out there looking at that shed. I walked out there and I said, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to start a church." Amen. I said, "Now, Dad, why would we want to do that?" He said, "Because he's still on the throne."
Amen.
I said, "Well, let's put a steeple on it." I'm ready to go get some people. How do you argue with that? Amen. Lord, that works together. Fifth sparrow. That's. Growing up, I had a buddy named Daryl Puckett. I'm Terrell, he was Daryl. If I was another Daryl, I was always, "I'm Terrell, this is my brother Daryl, this is another brother Daryl." Remember that children we got. But we never talked about the Daryl alike. But anyway, I was his best man at his wedding. He was my best man at our wedding. And I got him through biology at Wright State. He still loves me for that, you know. We graduated together, went to college together. Some people say, I heard a man say one time, "There's no such thing as lifelong friends." I don't believe that. I believe you can still have a lifelong friend. Don't you? I believe that. But Daryl, when he got married, God gave him and his wife a little baby, and this was Andrew. And Andrew was born with cerebral palsy. As he grew, I had no idea how many surgeries he had. I had no idea. I lost track. I mean, I was at Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. It seemed like every few months, and I'd sit there with him, wait for the doctor to come out. He seizured a lot. He would, many a time, we had to call an ambulance to come to church and get him. I'd follow the ambulance up to the hospital. We'd have prayer. Andrew never talked. He'd say yes. You know, he couldn't sign language a little bit. He couldn't eat. He had to have feeding tube. It wasn't even due to cerebral palsy, but something about his throat windpipe, it wasn't plumbed right, and so that was another thing. But Daryl bringing him to church, Daryl ended up through a series of events. He ended up being a single dad. And he had that, he got in a van with the wheelchair up and down. And Andrew had to wear a diaper all of his life. He, that type of thing, couldn't talk. He, every service. Here he comes. Daryl, please. And, we made a spot in the back of that room. I noticed something. People that said it's raining, I can't get to church. They never said that around Daryl and Andrew. You know, you can get a child like that to church in a wheelchair and deal with diapers and all of that. All of a sudden, some other people's excuses seem kind of ridiculous.
Sir,
we just like you all, we shake hands. I stand up on the platform. Everybody shake hands, blah, blah, blah. I got to notice every service there was a line to get to Andrew. And Andrew didn't shake hands, but they just say hi and touch it. I was amazed. I don't want you to know. There were times when, can we talk? Is there nobody here with us? Can we talk? There were times when Andrew would need help in the bathroom. Maybe diaper changes. He got to be a big boy. I saw men that you wouldn't think would ever do something like that. Look at Daryl and say, I'll help you. I'll help you with that. Look at that. Let's look at that preacher. I thought, Andrew has made our church a better church. We're better. We're more compassionate. Brought out some kindness. Sunday school teacher started moving rooms to make it easy to get Andrew to. And I got to thinking, it's brought out a kindness in us and a protection in us. And all of a sudden, we kind of learned how to be good to other people that may be having problems in life too. Now, if there's ever a fifth sparrow, that's a fifth sparrow. But that's a fifth sparrow that God used for his glory. Yeah. Andrew got pneumonia. Doctor said it. So that's probably what's going to take his life is a case of pneumonia that we can't handle. Daryl called me real early in the morning. He said, Andrew's, he said, it's going on to him. I preached Andrew's funeral. I took him to the cemetery there in Dayton by UD. There's a big cemetery right beside UD, University of Dayton. And I had the committal service. I'll never forget it. There's some strife. You know, Andrew's mom was there, the family, and you know, it was just a hard, kind of tough situation. After all those things, had the middle prayer, and I went over. I told you my nickname was always Hud in high school. His was Puck, P-U-C-K. His name was Daryl Puck. And I went over and I said, Puck, I said, are you doing all right? I never forget what I said. He said, Hud, he said, you know, how do we go hunting? I've had bird dogs in my life. Don't have any now, but used to have bird dogs. Boy, those little bird dogs, I got tired of them grouse winning, so I settled the score with them birds. And I got to be a really good bird dog, and we started eating grouse. You know, but anyway, me and Puck would go bird hunting. We bird hunting with a few pheasants in South Dakota, you know. Them little bird dogs, boy, they get muddy. You know, they're just covered with mud and briars and you know, the prettiest dog in the world looks, you know, it's all just nasty looking, you know. He said, Hud, do you know how the best dog I ever had was named Boss? He said, you remember how old Boss would get you covered with mud and he'd be wet and grimy and briars? And he'd come up and remember how he'd shake? And he'd be like, you ever see a dog do that? You know, more mud would just spray, you know, and he'd throw briars and mud. You had to get back and he'd get you, you know. He said, when Andrew got to heaven, I think he just did that. all that sickness and all that pain and all that sorrow and all that hurt and all of that. He said, he can shake it off.
That's
he
right.
said, it will never touch you again. God loves these sinners. Maybe you feel like the woman at the well. Maybe you feel like the woman caught in adultery. Maybe you feel like a Mephibosheth. Maybe you feel like that little widow, like your offering don't matter. Your little bit never makes much difference. I believe some of the biggest offerings that was given here last Sunday was given by kids that put a dime or a quarter. I believe that. I really do. I believe they love Jesus, have faith in their heart. You wait till you get to heaven and see what God did with some kids' quarters last Sunday. Amen. God still, God loves the fifth sparrow. Don't think you got to be Billy Sunday or Billy Graham or something to serve God. I'm glad God uses this sparrow like me and you, aren't you?
Amen. I can't sing.
I can't sing when I can talk. You better believe I sure can't sing now. I lost my paper. Ain't nobody here but us. Will you help me? You better. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I have an idea. I'm not the only fifth sparrow here tonight. Even if you know that God still loves us, God will still use us. God will forgive us when we mess up. And God's going to come and get us and take us home some of that morning. God said that you're more valuable than many sparrows. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But we're looking around. How many said to me, Brother Gerald? I hope you can understand me tonight. I apologize for my voice. I feel awful. But if you're here tonight, how many say, Brother Gerald, I just couldn't say that you've heard.